Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. And we want to thank you so much for this Sunday morning coming to our website to hear a sermon preached from the Word of God, taught from the Word of God. Now, there is an anointing here in my home studio where I'm making this sermon for Sunday morning. There's an anointing in our live service. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to visit us sometime. Amen. We're meeting on the campus of the University of South Florida Embassy Suites Hotel. You go in the lobby and on Spectrum Boulevard, right? Just very, very close to the Fowler Avenue, just a block off of Fowler Avenue, and you are at the Embassy Suites Hotel, and we're very easy to find. So come and visit us. We would love to meet you personally if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Anyone hearing this broadcast in the Tampa area, we would love to have you come and visit with us. There's a peculiar anointing when we have a live service, but there's also anointing to preach and teach here on the website. God is sending His Word. We claim that out of Psalm 107 and verse 20 as our foundational scripture for the vision we have for media ministry. And we'd ask you to partner with us. Pray for us that God will open doors, expand this ministry, amen, and take it wherever He wants to send it. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That is Psalm 107 and verse 20. It is our foundation for our vision for media ministry. Today, God is sending His Word to you, to heal you from sin's deadly womb, to heal your body from sickness. Whatever it is in your life that you need, God is He's a way maker. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He is a savior. Praise God. He's a counselor. He's everything that we need today. And we're coming to you in His behalf to tell you about that. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus, He wants to save you. If you're sick, I believe God wants to heal you today. Amen. If you are in some kind of circumstance that looks impossible, God is a way maker. Nothing is impossible with God today. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about four wonders of the cross. We know it's a given. Jesus died on the cross if we're Christian. We know that He was raised from the dead. He didn't stay dead. We know that He ascended to heaven. He ever lives to make intercession for us as our high priest. But there were wonders of the cross where God is confirming His death to be truly who He was and what He accomplished on that cross. And we want to think about that more deeply than we normally possibly would as we get in the Word of God today. Listen, no ordinary man was dying on that cross when Jesus was dying on it. And it was no ordinary death. Christ's death while paying our sin debt on the cross was anything but ordinary. God's Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, very man and yet very God, who healed the incurable, who spoke to the wind and sea in the midst of a great storm, and there was an immediate calm. They obeyed Him. What manner of man is this? It was said of Him that even the wind and the sea obeys Him. Who turned water into wine, who fed thousands with a small lunch from a poor boy, who raised the dead and cast out devils. No ordinary man, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, God incarnate in flesh. No martyr for some religious cause, but rather a sacrifice lamb for a sin offering. His life, His death, and His resurrection are all supernatural. And today, when it seems like the only supernatural is occurring over on the devil's side, when people call on Satan and, you know, there's levitation and there's all kinds of things that happen, and some of them I understand are fake and some of them are phony, but there's a real supernatural power in the demonic world and in the occult, and there needs to be supernatural power and confirmations and manifestations in the true church, where God is allowed to manifest Himself. When I say allowed, if we've got a cut and dried service and we've got everything so integrated into this 1 hour on Sunday morning, I'm not criticizing to be a critic and sit back and throw stones at people that get done in a gnat's eyebrow of 12. Or everyone gets nervous if it starts at 11. But I am saying to you, if we don't open these things up to the manifest presence of God, the devil's going to have the manifestations of power. And the church that is supposed to represent a power far greater than anything that this fallen angel, Satan, and these fallen angels that followed him, these demonic beings, listen. Friend of mine, we want God to move by His Spirit, and we want the Word to be preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we want, as Christians, to sense the presence of God in our midst. You know, someone said it very clearly, if the Holy Spirit didn't show up, would anyone miss Him? It's all so cut and dried, so cleverly planned, down to the letter. We could read the bulletin and know what's going to happen before it happens. I like to get in a service where nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. We can announce a subject like I'm announcing this, and I'm already using up time that I could be spent hitting these highlights here in this outline that I've prepared. But I want to be led by the Spirit of God. The time is short. We don't have time to not hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So let's get in the Word and see if we hear something today, individually and personally and precisely, something that's going to touch our life in such a way that it's going to change our life. Hallelujah. If you're not a Christian, be our guest today as we talk about these four wonders of the cross today. Hallelujah. While Christ is dying on the cross for this fallen world of men and women, God is shouting to the world the power and purpose of His sacrifice. I want to say that again. While Jesus is dying on that old rugged cross for fallen men and women, boys and girls, God is shouting to the world the power and purpose of His sacrifice. And these four supernatural events that surround His sacrificial death on the cross signify this was no ordinary man hanging on that cross, and His death was anything but ordinary. Time was invaded by eternity as heaven literally shook the earth. Look with me at Luke 23, verse 44 and 45. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And listen, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in the midst. In Matthew 27, 51 through 53, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, or they broke open, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. The result of these supernatural events shook the soldiers at the foot of the cross. Listen to Matthew 27 and verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Imagine Roman soldiers who participated in the crucifixion and who saw horrible things in battle, were battle-hardened soldiers, were now proclaiming, whilst trembling and shaking, that Jesus is the Son of God. Number one, the sun stopped shining. There was darkness in the middle of the day. Suffice it to say, the sun was in the sky, was snuffed out for 3 hours, while the Son of God became our sin bearer. This first sign tells us that a payment has been made and is being made while Jesus is dying on that cross. Our sin, in order to be forgiven, had to be judged, and the terrifying darkness signified that our sins and all the sins of mankind were being punished in Him, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, you see, and have everlasting life. You see, God supplies the blood through giving His Son. Jesus supplied His own blood upon that cross as a payment for our sin and His suffering and dying. But we have to apply that blood by repenting of our sin and receiving Jesus as our Savior. Our sins were being punished in Him, that whosoever will could come to Him and have everlasting life. The crucifixion is not about what they, the Jews of that day, did to Jesus. It's not about, oh yes, they did. They participated, and there's a punishment that is still being carried out because of that. It's not about they, the Romans, what they did to Christ. It's not about what they, the disloyal disciple, did to Christ, Judas. It's about we. It's about us. It's about me. It's about you. It's our sins. He was taken upon Himself. It was our punishment He was enduring so that we could be forgiven. Listen, what God allowed His Son to go through and what Jesus allowed them to put Him through on that cross is the worst kind of death there could possibly be. And God confirmed what was happening when He just snuffed the sun out for 3 hours. The last 3 hours, there was a supernatural, scary darkness over the earth. Isaiah 53:5 said, this is what was happening, prophetic of Jesus on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In verse 6, we used to sing the song based on the Charles Wesley hymn, Amazing Love. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be that this, my King, would die for me? Listen to Matthew 27:45-46. From the sixth hour until the ninth, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The story is told that when Martin Luther studied this text one day, he just sat and stared at the words for hours. He said nothing and wrote nothing as he silently pondered this anguished expression. Suddenly he stood up and exclaimed, God forsaken by God, how can it be? You see, the scripture says, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ on the cross during that time, reconciling the world unto Himself. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? I'm going to go further and still be theologically correct and biblically accurate. How can it be that you, my Creator, you, my God, died for me? Charles Spurgeon also struggled with this cry from the cross when he wrote, "Here you may look as into a vast abyss, and though you strain your eyes and gaze till your sight fails you, yet you perceive no bottom. It is measureless, unfathomable, inconceivable, this anguish of the Savior on our behalf and mine. Yours and mine is no more to be measured and weighed than the sin which needed it, or the love which endured it. We will adore where we cannot comprehend." He said, my goal this morning is not for us to comprehend everything, but instead to fall on our faces in humble adoration. Allow this shout to startle, stagger, and even surprise you. There are mysteries in this yell from the cross that I certainly cannot fully explain. One thing I can declare, this is me speaking, amen. I'm not quoting Spurgeon anymore. He was paying your and my sin debt. And this cry comes after a 3-hour period of darkness. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. and uttered His first saying sometime then between 12 noon. The Bible tells us that from noon until 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land. The final 4 shouts are spoken in quick succession immediately before He dies, about 3 in the afternoon. And it begins a chain reaction, really, of several cataclysmic supernatural events. Matthew 27:51-52 tells us that after the 7th shout, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, the earth shook, the rocks broke apart, and at His resurrection, shortly after those events, the tombs broke open, and many who had died were resurrected. Amen. This was a supernatural darkness. Scholars say it was darkness that you could feel, a terrible darkness that shook even battle-hardened soldiers. At high noon, a time when it seemed least expected, the world became dark. Or as Spurgeon once said, I'm going to quote him again, it was midnight at midday. 3 hours of light are now followed by 3 hours of silent darkness that you can feel, as the light of the world becomes the payment for the darkness and the depravity of man. We know it wasn't a sandstorm because it came over all the land. It had to be something more than an eclipse, because an eclipse doesn't last 3 hours. And this was the Passover, when the moon was at its farthest distance from the earth. It was a supernatural event where the Son of God caused the sun in the sky to be extinguished because of what He was doing in our behalf on that old rugged cross. Our sin debt was being paid. Man was murdering his Maker. The Lamb was being sacrificed. All of my sin and your sin was being downloaded onto Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Darkness is almost always connected with the judgment of God for sin. Listen carefully. It was midnight at midday because Jesus became legally guilty of our sin, though He was sinless, and was therefore judged accordingly. It was during these 180 minutes that Jesus became our sin payment. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus took the full brunt of God's righteous judgment, paying the price by becoming a curse, according to Galatians 3:13. Listen to it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Listen, this physical darkness was symbolic of Jesus' separation from the Father, who is light. Now, he wasn't separated spiritually from the Father because he was part and parcel of the Father. I and my Father are one. But he most certainly was physically separated from the Father. John Stott writes, "Our sins blotted out the sunshine of his Father's face. God the Father turned his back because in his absolute holiness he could not look at the accumulated ugliness of all the world's sins that were piled on his Son." Habakkuk 1:13 says it this way, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong." You see, God's purity demands that he turn away. He didn't turn away because he didn't care for his Son. He didn't even turn away because he saw such suffering that his Son was enduring. He turned away because his Son now had all the ugliness of sin spiritually laid upon him, not just figuratively, but spiritually laid upon him. The scourging, the beating, the crucifixion is what our sin did to Jesus, and it's what Jesus did to forgive our sin. We ought to be singing, "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend." Hallelujah. Amen. The passion of Jesus on the cross should provoke in every saved person a passion for Jesus. A little girl, after a Good Friday message, prayed, "Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. And thank you that we didn't have to watch." The scripture is very clear in Isaiah 53. "When we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. Nothing that we should desire him. But we did esteem him, smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But surely he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Indeed, this man dying on this cross was not a martyr, a good man, a great man even, dying for a great and good cause. This was God's Son dying for you and for me. God's Son becoming our sin bearer, becoming our sacrifice lamb. No ordinary man, the man on that cross, was sinless. But he who knew no sin became sin, took on himself. How this happened, how the transfer was made, how our sin was uploaded onto him, and how his righteousness was downloaded onto us, or his innocence was downloaded onto us, is a great mystery. And yet, it is very clear biblically, very clear that it occurred. And God accepted what he did on that cross as payment. I love that old song that we used to sing, "I bought a debt I couldn't pay, and it was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a scarlet stain. He washed it white as snow. There's much more we want to talk about here, and in future broadcasts we will. But today, as we close this part of this sermon and this teaching, what happened on that cross was no ordinary man, and it was no ordinary death. What happened on that cross was something that we could ponder for all time, I believe, and really not completely comprehend the fact of the Creator of heaven and earth and the Creator of Adam and Eve and there through them all mankind. The God who created the universe loved the world enough to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, not be utterly banished and punished in hell, but have eternal life. Friend, that is something that shakes me to the core this day. And it makes me want to bow. It makes me want to worship Him and serve Him with all that I am and all that I have for all the time that I have left. I love God for giving His Son. I love Jesus for taking my place. I love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And God put the sun out when He could no longer look upon the sin that had been transferred to Jesus. Oh, friend, don't let that death and this confirmation of God, don't let it slip away from you. Don't let it be in vain. If God would go to this length to save you, it means that God loves you that much. He loves you enough to give His Son. Would you come and receive the benefit and blessing of such an offering in our behalf? Jesus loved us enough to stay on that cross when He could have called the armies of heaven to keep Him from going to it or to take Him off of it when the agony got beyond human endurance. But He died in the dark without the consolation of His Father so that we would never know that darkness. We would never know that distance from God where He could not console us. Come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. He will save you, repenting of your sin. He will save you. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. And He will keep you safe from the wrath to come. There's time. Don't let time run out. In Jesus' name.